Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. So honored and blessed you took out the time to join us again today, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find yourself listening. So honored and blessed that you took out the time to click play on another episode of the Greater Than Podcast. The purpose of the podcast, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have already overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. What we want to do in the podcast is take what's going on in the world and even culture and approach it from a biblical perspective to find and remind ourselves that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All right, today, I'm excited about what we have today. Today, we're talking about the more excellent name. The more excellent name. We're talking about the names of God briefly. There are so many names of God, we couldn't possibly cover it in a 37 to 38 minute podcast episode, but we'll cover some ground here and we'll endeavor and ask the Spirit of God to help us to do so. Father God, thank you so much for each and every person listening who took out the time to join the podcast. Thank you, Father, for helping us even during these dark times that the light has shined in our hearts and that it will continue to do so, Father. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Father, for each and every one of us having ears to hear, eyes that see, and hearts that understand. That'll take us to the next level in you, finding out truth that makes us free, that takes us to that next level in you. Father, thank you for showing us the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I tell you, listen, it's going to be a good one. Strap in. We're in for a good treat. Here we go. Proverbs 18:10. It says, this is the New King James, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. When it says that the righteous run into it and are safe, it literally means that they're set on high. They're set on high. I'll say that again. It literally means that they're set on high. Philippians 2:8-11 reveals to us, talking about Jesus, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him the name. Oh, this is beautiful. Which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said in John 17:11, this is the Passion Translation. He's praying here. If you haven't read John 17, I highly recommend it to you because it really, if you ever wanted to know how Jesus prayed, what Jesus prayed, it's revealed to us in John 17. It lets us know and shows us Jesus praying to the Father. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You ought to take some time and read that. In the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus is praying here, John 17:11, Holy Father, I am about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one that you have given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. Here's a quote from my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. Here's a quote from him. He says this, that name, talking about Jesus, the name of Jesus, that name has within it the fullness of the Godhead. Watch this, the wealth of eternity. Woo! That name, the name of Jesus, has within it the fullness of the Godhead and the wealth of eternity. Man. Colossians 1:19 says this, for it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. The Amplified Bible says it like this, for it pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes, man, this is powerful, should dwell in him permanently. Here's three thoughts that I want to convey to you. The first thought I have here is, the first thing I want to say here is that God's names, his names reveal really his character. God's names reveal his character. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, that verse that we read as our text in the Passion Translation says it like this, the character of God is a tower of strength for the lovers of God. That's my feeble attempt at a rewind sound. Proverbs 18:10. Let me start over in the Passion Translation. The character of the Lord is a tower of strength. For the lovers of God delight to run into his heart and be exalted on high. Ooh, that's good. The lovers of God delight to run into his heart and be exalted on high. There's a power and presence that's in the name of Jesus, that's in God. But it's not just power and things into a name, but into the character, because there are plenty of people in the world who have the name Jesus, or of course, obviously it's going to be pronounced Jesus. They have that name, right? Some there are people who are named, what do you want to say? There are some people who have Emmanuel. That's their name. That's a good, that's a powerful name, right? We know that that means God with us, but it's not just about a name. It's about the character. Do you understand the character of God? Not everyone who names the name of God is going to be in a place where they even get to heaven. It's about knowing God personally. We have a podcast that we've done before talking about knowing God as your Father, knowing God and having this place of relationship with God, knowing his character, your hope and your trust and your hoping and trusting, relying upon the character of God. For it's the character of God that's the tower of strength. That's the strong tower, knowing the character of God. Oh, that's pretty good, man. Now, let's talk about some of these names of God. I want to start off with Psalms 23. Psalms 23, and it says in verse 1, the Lord is my what? He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh my goodness. The NET says, or the NLT, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. What is Jehovah? What does that mean? That name there, the Lord is my shepherd, literally means Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi is that name. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. The righteous run into that name, Jehovah Rohi, the revelation of Jehovah Rohi, and they are saved. They're saved from what? In this context, they're saved from want. They're saved from lack. That's what that word want means. It means lack. The Bible says, as I said earlier, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. You know, the self-righteous will never run into the name. Uh-oh. They want to be made righteous by their own works, by their own deeds. Here's what you got to know. And I'm saying this even about myself. I know Elijah, Isaiah, Merle. I know me. I know that I need the overwhelming grace of God in my life. Because I know the kind of person I am. I know the bad things that I've done, whether it was out of ignorance or if it was on purpose. I know what I've done. I know that in and of myself, I can't look upon a holy God. In and of myself, I have no right. I have no right at all to even be doing this podcast in and of myself. Because knowing me, I have no right to be an ordained reverend. I have no right for any of this. I know me. I know what I've done. I know what I've done when I was younger. I know what I've done when I was watching. And I've talked about it before on the podcast, being exposed to pornography and going through that and all these different things. I'm saying that I have learned that the righteous are the ones who run into him. They run into the name of Jesus, not so they can sin. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking to him as the ultimate source of my right standing with God. And when I allow that new creation root on the inside of me, when I abide with that root, when I abide in that vine, it produces the new creation fruit called the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it'll produce. But it only happens when I run into him, when I let go of my self-righteousness, anything that I think I earn or deserve, and I tap into his righteousness. That's what it means when the righteous run into it. Putting our faith and exercising our faith upon him as the Lord of our righteousness, running to him as opposed to running from him. We've got to run to him, because when we do that, that's when we're safe. That's when we're safe from the curse of the law. That's when we're safe from the sins, the effects of sins. That's when we're safe. We're set aloft. We're on high. Like like I said, in Psalms 23, when we trust and have the revelation of the character of God as our good shepherd, the character of God as our Jehovah Rohi, what does that revelation do to us? It sets us on high. It lifts us up above want and lack when we have that revelation. Come on now, that he is our Jehovah Rohi. That's what it does. We run into him and we're safe. We're set on high. We're in the tower. It's a high tower. It's a rock of refuge. It's higher than man. It's higher than angels. It's higher than heaven itself, man. We're safe from all danger when we come into that place and we run into that place in his character. Let me say this too. Jehovah Jireh. We understand from the song, right? My provider, right? Genesis 22, 13 through 14 reveals this to us, that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked. Now, of course, Abraham's about to sacrifice his son. Man, I tell you what, that would have been awkward if he comes back home and his wife, Sarah, doesn't see her son. But the Bible also reveals to us that Abraham received his son Isaac back from the dead in a figure. In his heart, he was believing for resurrection. And that gave God the right, because God was in covenant with Abraham. Remember for the podcast we did for Christ's sake, talking about the covenant that really wasn't with God and Abraham. It was really between God the Father and God the Son. Abraham believed it and got in on it. It's so and it's true with all of us. That because see, let me talk about that too. Let me touch on that just a little bit, because I believe that some people say, well, no, you know, I want to be in covenant. I want this. No, you get in on it. You're born into the family. It belongs to you. You've got the same rights. You're like Mephibosheth. You know, he had that right, that Jonathan, as his father, he had a right to the kingdom. He had a right to the access to sit at the king's table continually. So we have that right. But we got to remember, well, how do you get saved? He says that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. Well, what are you believing? What are you're not believing of anything that you could do. You're not believing in and confessing any of your works. You're believing and confessing that the work of Jesus is enough for your salvation, that what he did on the cross, what he did with his death, burial, and resurrection is enough to secure your salvation, your justification, your wisdom, everything that you need in your life. What are we doing? We're running into that name. We're running into the character, though. Not just a name, but the character. So that's what I mean when I say that. Here in Abraham's about to sacrifice Isaac, but he receives Isaac back in his heart in a figure. You can read that for yourself in Hebrews 11. So what happens here? I'm telling you what, though. I'm glad that he received him in a figure. I'm glad that it didn't go down that way, because like I said earlier, Sarah, man, she probably would have busted a cap if she had to on Abram, man, because she, you know, all that stuff they went through to get to have that boy, to receive that child of promise, all that they went through there. I know she wasn't going to be a happy camper if Abraham came back without his son. So I knew Abraham, he knew this more than anybody. I believe that's one of the reasons why he received Isaac back in a figure. He counted up and he said, listen, God's going to have to raise this guy up from the dead, this boy up from the dead, because there's no way I'm going back to Sarah without this kid, because it'll be both our heads. Then I'm going to be dead. Because like I said, they went through a lot to be able to receive Isaac. They went through a whole bunch of things to be at the place where they could receive. So why do I bring all that up? Because in that place, when he's about to offer Isaac, is where we get the name Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord stopped Moses, or Abraham. I don't know why Moses is on my brain here, guys, but he stopped Abraham from offering up Isaac, right? And the ram was caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went, he took that lamb, the ram, and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Don't you know Isaac was like, phew. And offered that in place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It shall be provided. He called that place, the Lord will provide, or also Jehovah Jireh. What is that? That's him being our provider. That's him seeing ahead and providing provision. Provision is simply for the vision. God will provide what we need and he'll see it ahead. He's the God that sees ahead. Not only does he see ahead though, but he sees ahead and he provides. And it's in the place, it's in the right place. The Bible says that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That's another podcast episode in and of itself, but we've got to find out in our lives as we're led by the Spirit and what we're doing in our everyday life, we've got to find the place called Jehovah Jireh. He didn't necessarily call God Jehovah Jireh. He called the place Jehovah Jireh. There is a right place. Oh, this is good right here. There's a right place that you and I are supposed to be. And when we're in that place, we experience Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Anyway, oh man, listen, I could stay on that for a while. But what am I saying? Remember what we said earlier now, the name of the Lord is a high tower, the righteous, not the self-righteous, not those who think they can do it in and of their self, but those, the righteous ones are those who run into his name and they're set on high, they're set above. So once again, this is connected right with Jehovah Rohi. Knowing God as Jehovah Jireh puts you in a place where your needs are met, you're provided for, you're kept, you're in a place where God can manifest in your life as your provider, you're set on high, you're set above lack, you're set above being at a place of deficiency, debased, being all that, you're set above that because of the simple fact that you run into the revelation and to the character of God as your provider. You know, the Bible says that God is our good shepherd, right? Awesome. The Bible also says that the Lord is our shepherd in Psalms 23. In John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So we see that Jesus, the name Jesus, Jesus steps into the role of Jehovah Rohi. His name, right? The fullness dwells in the name of Jesus. All right, Jehovah Jireh. Well, we see that Jesus in the Bible, in John chapter 6, when they feed the multitude, when he feeds them by the help of the Lord, he lifts up the loaf and he blesses it and all that. He asks Philip, what are we going to do to feed all these people before he lifts up the bread, right? He asks Philip, what are we going to do to feed all these people? Philip said, man, listen, I don't know how we're going to do this. We don't have enough money on hand to take care of these guys. We don't know how. The Bible says that Jesus asked Philip this to test him because Jesus already knew what he would do. And the Bible, oh, come on now, watch me now. Jesus stepped into the role of Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? One who sees ahead, the God who sees ahead and provides. Jesus already knew he is seen ahead and provide. Oh, that's good. Remember when he sent them out without a purse, without strip? He said, I'm sending you boys out, right? Y'all going on a road trip. Y'all not a road trip, but y'all going on a mission trip. And I want y'all to go without anything. I want you to go without the money, without your purse, without, you know, I don't know why they had purses. But anyway, I want you to go without knowing where your next paycheck is going to come from. Those who work in the gospel should live of the gospel, he goes on to tell them. So what happens with that? Well, I'll tell you what happened. In another place, Jesus asked him, oh, by the way, when I sent you guys without money, did you lack anything? They said, we didn't lack a thing. Why? Because they were doing that in the name of Jesus, which also means Jehovah Rohi, meaning the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. And it also means Jehovah Jireh. The Lord himself will provide. He'll see ahead and he'll provide for you. This is good. I hope it's encouraging you. Jehovah Shalom. That simply means the Lord our peace. We understand that Jesus steps into that role too, because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:13-14 that Jesus is our peace. He himself is our peace. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord, our healer. The Bible says that I am the Lord who heals you. The Bible also reveals to us that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. He steps into that role of Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Sitkenu. I love what one minister said. He always thought that name was confusing. What is it? Jehovah Sitkenu. Jehovah Sitkenu. Sit in a canoe? Is that what we're doing? Are we sitting in a canoe? Listen, that's just a church joke, man. I won't charge you for that one. Jehovah, you wouldn't pay for it anyway if I did charge. Jehovah Sitkenu literally means the Lord our righteousness. That's what that literally means. Well, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 reveals to us that God made Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us so that in him we would be made the righteousness of God. Here's another example, Jehovah Nissi. That means the Lord our banner, the Lord our victory. The Lord is my banner. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a powerful thing. Yeah, a couple of things I want to say here. And we'll get into a place. We're going to just point number two. Uh-oh, I may need some extra time, y'all. Point number two, I want to talk about the name in prayer. Jesus said in John 16, 23 through 24, that in that day, talking about the day that we're living in, right? You will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name, and you will, and he goes on to tell him, so I want you to ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, Paul, I think it's Peter who's speaking there, actually, and he says that there's no other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name Jesus is a grace gift. He said that the name, there is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. That sounds kind of like Proverbs, right? What we read, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. There's no other name. Jesus is the name above all names. He is the name that by his name, by revelation of knowing what his name has provided and secured for us, it gives us access into all that God has and all that God is. That's the name of God in prayer. That's the name of Jesus in prayer. And Jesus also said this in Matthew 18, verse 19, in the Passion Translation. He says, ask the Father, the Heavenly Father will do it for you, whatever you ask in my name. He says, if two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer. Ooh, listen, we're going to have to talk about the prayer of agreement at some point on the podcast. But in a symphony, there's agreement here. He says, my Heavenly Father will do it for you. For wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I'm right there with them. I'm telling you, all that God is and all that God has is at your disposal. When you come in the name of Jesus, you're not coming out of this place of, I'm just going to manipulate the system. The name of Jesus is not a magic trick. No. You're coming in agreement. He said a perfect symphony, like an orchestra, the every part working together. You're combining the word of God, the spirit of God, all of it comes together, finding out what the word of God says. That's why we went through and we read all about Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. That's why we read all these names. Why? So that we can know what Jesus has supplied for us. What's supplied in his name. When we have a revelation of that, we can boldly ask the Father for anything with that revelation, and it will be done for us. Now, point number three, as we begin to wrap it up, the name in combat. The name in combat. It says in John 14, 12 through 14, it says, New King James, Jesus is talking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to be with the Father. Shout out GWM. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when he's talking about the name, when he says ask here, it literally means to demand. You're not demanding anything of God. We understand that, right? We're not doing that. You're making a demand. Case in point, a good example is Acts 3. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are at that gate called Beautiful. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 8. This is the Passion Translation again. It says that Peter said to the man who was sitting there at the gate called Beautiful, who was lame, right? And he was asking alms. He was crippled. He said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Ooh. By the power of the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. What's he doing? Peter is not, he's not praying to the Father. That's, he's not praying to the Father. He's using the name in combat to go against that debilitating, crippling affliction that that man had gone through for so many years. It's a beautiful thing. It says that then Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. He pulled the man to his feet. Suddenly power surged into this crippled man's feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood for a moment, stunned, and then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leaped for joy and shouted praises to God. If you skip on down to verse 16 in the New King James now, Peter says this, and his name, talking about Jesus' name, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this lame man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Here's what I want you to know. We can use the name of Jesus in combat. We can use the name of Jesus to make a demand, to make a pull, to receive the blood. This is something that was already provided in Jesus. Grace had already provided this man's healing. It was already provided. What did Peter do? By the help of the Holy Spirit, he made a demand on it. Well, that's what we got to do. We got to make a demand, or another word is we can make a withdrawal on what's been provided. But it's only in the name of Jesus that we can do this, that we can make this demand. We're not demanding anything of God. We're not trying to rend anything out of the, or pull anything out of the hand of God. Because if he was withholding his blessings from us, guess what? You're screwed. Hey, sorry if that offended you, but it's just the truth. If he's withholding anything from us, there's no way we're going to get it. The Bible says, John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been freely given to him of God. So we have to understand and have a revelation of what's been freely given so we can access it by faith. But I'm telling you, there's an enemy out there, and you have to be able to use the name, the power that's in the name of Jesus. The Bible, Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. There are demons out there. What are you doing? You're using the name in combat. You're not praying to God, oh God, in the name of Jesus, let this demon stop acting up. No, you make a demand. You take authority over what's going on with your children. You take authority of what's going on in the workplace. You take authority. Wherever you have a place of authority, you take that authority in the name of Jesus. You go in combat in the Spirit of God. You go dressed to the nine. You go dressed in the armor of God. And by that power, you speak the things in the name of Jesus, and you expect it to change, not because of you, because what have you done? You've run into that name. And what happens when the righteous run into that name? They're safe. They're set above. Ooh. When you have that revelation of the name of Jesus and you hide yourself in that name, it puts you above it. You live above it. He said, set your affections on things above. Don't set your things on the things of the world, but above, that above place. Having the authority and the belief in your heart that I know my God is for me. And if my God is for me, who can successfully be against me? Using the name of God in combat. James 5:13-15 says, is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone who's cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What is going on here? What's going on here is you're calling on the elders of the church to come, anointed with oil. Now, obviously, nowadays, I don't know if you called on the elders, I don't know if they're going to show up to your place. I'm going to be honest. But there was a time not long ago where you could call on the elders of the church and they would come. And they would anoint you with oil. Now, what's going on here? They're doing it in the name of Jesus. They're doing it as the representatives of Christ. When he says in the name of Jesus, it's the equivalent of, you ever seen a movie about, let's say you're seeing an old Roman movie. I don't know if you saw Gladiator or something that has to do with the Romans and how it was set up. You ever saw in a movie where they would knock on someone's door and they would say, open up in the name of Rome? What does that mean? That means open up. This is letting them know what's backing them. This is why open up in the name of Rome. We're the dominating force. In other words, we've got to, if that's the case for them and what they had in that time period where they could go around commanding things and ordering things to be done in the name of Rome, how much more should we as believers, children of God, called to the army of God, we're in the Lord's army. Well, that's an old school song right there. I'm in the Lord's army, right? I'm not going to go there. You know the song. If we have that authority, if we have that mindset, if they had it in Rome, how much more should we have it in the name of Jesus? Because what we know what's been provided for us, it brings protection, it brings salvation, it brings us to a place where we're operating in the place. I know of several stories where people were almost in car accidents and their life was almost taken away. And they didn't have time to quote the 91st Psalm right then and there. But what did they say? They said, Jesus. What happened? Because in the name of Jesus, is Jehovah Nisi. That's where victory is. In the name of Jesus is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord being your good shepherd. In the name of Jesus is that place where you find provision. In that place that you find, he's made it and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, all every knee's got to bow and every tongue has to confess to the glory of God the Father. We're saying that the name of Jesus is the more excellent name. It pleased the Father that the fullness would dwell in Jesus. When it says the fullness, it literally means, it's almost like we said in the Amplified when we read that verse in Colossians 3, I believe it is, when we read that verse, that fullness, it literally means the sum total. It's almost as if God sat down, calculated all that he is, calculated all that he had, and said, okay, I want to put all of this in Jesus. So all is simple. All these we're simply saying is in the name of Jesus is everything you need. There is the wealth of eternity, like Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. said. The wealth of eternity is in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. It breaks every chain. Miss Tasha knew what she was talking about, man. There's power in it. And when we have that revelation, when we know that, it sets us above things. Yeah, I know people are going through things. I know that the world has been crazy and there's stuff going on, but I'm saying we can go above it when we have a revelation of who's backing us, when we have a revelation of the character of God, not just a name. Like I said, this isn't no magic trick. This isn't anything like that. This isn't no abracadabra or kazam or whatever kind of word you want to use. This is a revelation of God's character. Because I have a revelation of God's character, I know who he is. I know what he's done for me. I know he's my Jehovah Jireh. I know he is my provider. I know that Jesus took care of the disciples. Jesus took care of many who were sick, who were diseased, who were disenfranchised. He took care of all of them. He was the benefactor of all benefactors. Because I know that, because I have the name, it's a grace gift. There's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Because I know I have his name, I can claim and believe for things that other people may not be so bold as to do. Why? Because they don't have the revelation. Because of self-righteousness, right? Because it's the righteous that run into the name, not the self-righteous. If you think you've got it all on your own, if you think you don't need faith, if you think you don't need God, then what is it? What can he do in your life? He can't manifest. He can't do what he wants to do in your life. We have got to get to a place where we say, you know what? My trust and my belief is in him, on Christ alone. Christ alone, the cornerstone. In him, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. My hope is in him, his name. His name is the name that I go to. When I use his name, I access his authority. When I access his authority, I access this power. He said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit gives you the right. It gives you the right to call him your Abba Father. It gives you the right to use Jesus's name. Think about someone whose daddy runs the company. We talked about this before, but if you know your dad runs the company, you step up. You ain't got no qualms. You don't have any trouble using that name, that last name. Why? Because his name is your name. Elijah, can you be so bold as to say that? Yeah, I can be bold to say that as we wrap it up here, because in Ephesians, I'm moving stuff all over the place because I want to turn there as quick as I can. In Ephesians, I can say what I said. Ephesians chapter 4, I know what I said. I know what I said. Ephesians chapter 3, here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I'm getting excited now. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You've got access to that name. In that name is the strong tower where you're lifted up above. You rise above it. I know it's going on. That doesn't, listen to me. I'm not denying that things are going on in the world. I'm saying that using the name of Jesus can lift you above what's going on in the world. See, a lot of times Christians think, and even unbelievers really, they think, oh man, you guys are just living in a dream world. What are you talking about? You don't see all the hurt, all the famine, all the things, COVID-19, what's going on in the world? Can you not see all that? Man, 2020 sucks, but we're over here saying, nah, man, 2020 is still our year. How can we say that? How can we be so bold as to do that? It's not that we're not denying what's going on, but we're saying we found the tower. And when we get into that tower, we're set above. The name of Jesus brings us to a place where we're above it. We're not denying it. No, we're just saying that we choose by the power of the Holy Spirit to live above it. Now, notice what happens here. The whole family is named after him. Verse 16, that he might grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. That Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in his love. Ooh-wee. What am I saying? All I'm saying is this. When you have a revelation that Jesus, his name is my name. You're named after Jesus. You're named after God the Father. Oh, man, your heritage is the richest heritage that there is. Man, you come from a great stock. Yeah, I tell you what, you are the cream of the crop because you're in him, because you have a relationship with him. The Bible says here in the Passion Translation of that verse in 15, I just love it. I'm laughing and giggling. This is a good one, man. The perfect father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. That's what he calls him, the perfect father. And because he's in us, the Bible says, be ye perfect. As I am perfect. You can't be perfect in and of yourself. You can't be perfect trying to be self-righteous. It'll never work. You'll always make a mistake. Take it from me. I've done it. I've been there. I've made mistakes. But when we choose to run into the name of God, I'm telling you what, it lifts us above depression, confusion, loneliness. These are all emotions that we deal with every day. These are all emotions that we've had to have dealt with at some point in our lives. But when we know the name of Jesus, that he is mine and I'm his. His name belongs to me. I can use it in combat. I can use it in prayer to receive what I need. And I can use it because I know his character. It brings you to a higher place, literally. And the wicked one touches you not. Oh, it's there. We acknowledge. Oh, yeah, sure. There are things going on. But we're saying when we get into that name, we're above it. We're no longer where it can get us. We're set above because of our trust in him. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for each and every listener. Thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus, that in that name, everything has to bow to that name, Father. Thank you for the revelation that Jesus, in that one simple name, that beautiful name, Jesus, all the fullness, the wealth of eternity dwells in it, dwells in him. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, I love you so much. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Leave a like, leave a comment. Let us know if this blessed you. My name is Elijah Merle, and remember this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.